Begin with the first Rashi. The first Rashi is a very long Rashi. It's not your typical Rashi. It's not the typical way you start off a parsha. Okay, Rashi over here connects this parsha to the previous parsha. Vayeshev Yaakov, acha shekosav loch. I'm not sure it's loch or locha. Kosav loch. Yeshuvei Esav v'toldoisav. The very end of the parshas, vayishlach. If you remember, it was a long yichus brief of all the mamzerim. I'm not joking. Rashi says, "Malame to teach you the Omam Zerim." Rashi says Beferish in the past parasha. That's the reason. Why do we have to know this? All these names, to know you. They're all a bunch of Mam Zerim.
Even if he's in the Torah, he can be a Mam.
Even in the Torah, right? It's right. You can be dressed up in a strimal in the Bekashah.
Yeah, Esav wore a strimal.
And you can be a Mam Zerim also. There are plenty of Mam Zerim in the Torah. Parashas Vayeshev has a lot of Mam Zerim. Well said, Mayor. Okay, there are a lot of mamzerim. Why? So Rashi says, Acha shekosav l'cha yishuvei esav v'toldoisav b'derech ketzara. Rashi says, b'derech ketzara. I don't know about you. It was a pretty long couple of aliyahs last week listing off all of the mamzerim of Esav. Shelo hayu sifunim v'chashuvim. They were not. Rabbi Chol, you have a good translation of the word sifunim. It means a leader, but it means, you have a good translation. Sifunim. Vachashuvim, they were not distinguished leaders in the world. They were nobodies. They were nobodies. Like the Agudah convention, everyone is talking about Rabbi Yedid. Rabbi Yedid said, "And you are a nobody." That was the quote. The takeaway from the Agudah convention, the keynote session of Mitzvah Shabbos. They had a wonderful darshan, Rabbi Yedid. Rabbi Yedid, unfortunately, I didn't even listen to the drasha because I had to work. They sent me on some missions to bring this person some Diet Coke. And, you know, to bring a wire that wasn't even necessary to plug into some port that no one even knows what it was. Chlesnish. But Rabbi Yedid was the keynote list, and he made a whole long drasha. And part of the drasha, he said, "And you are a nobody." It was so fun that even after the dinner was over, there were some girls who worked for the Agudah. They got up at the podium and they were taking videos selfies of saying, "And you are a nobody." I actually have it. I actually have it. You want to see the Agudah girls, the girls who work in the office in the Agudah. So they were having some fun with the Agudah photographer, taking these video clips of them saying that from the same podium as the Moetzes Gidoyle Yisrael. All right, in any event, let's get serious over here. Okay, so this is, what does it mean over here? Sifunim? Oh, you're saying good. You're saying it was a Navardic event. A Navardic event. What does it mean? Sifunim v'chashuvim, the goyim, Esav, they were nobodies. They were nobodies. L'fore chayach nisyashe v'seder milcham oisehem, how they dwelt in the state of their wars. Eich hoirishoy es hachori. Okay, it goes on, Rashi goes on, how exactly they, you know, their whole history. And then Perish Lucha Yeshuva Yaakov Vitoloisov, after we're done with them, just let's get it over with. Let's go and list off all of their yichus. Then we come and we describe the following parashiyos, starting with Parashas Vayeshev and going into Miketz and Vayigash, Vayichi, and then Shemos and Vayikra and Bamidbar Devarim. Now we begin to be Ma'arich on Klal Yisrael. That's an amazing statement over here. Rashi over here is saying over here is that this parasha, Parashas Vayeshev, is the beginning of describing Klal Yisrael.
The history
of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah, but the point is it's genial, leaving the others behind.
Okay, that's how Rashi goes on. We'll get that in 1 second. But this alone is a very fascinating point to appreciate what is Vayeshev. Nachamo, Rash, after we've gone through, we describe Baderach Kitzara, Shaloha Yusufunim Vachashuvim. They were not leaders and important people to describe how they settled in the world and their wars and how they drove out the Hachoiri. Now we have to appreciate what is Parashas Vayeshev. Parashas Vayeshev is sit back, relax. We have a long story to tell you. Parashas Vayeshev is a very beautiful time of the year. Because when you come to Shul Parashas Vayeshev, now the show begins. everything until now was just dressing, was just, you know,
introduction.
He plays some nice music. I have no doubt that in the Hollywood world, when they make a movie, I have no doubt in my mind that they take into consideration when they produce a multi-million-dollar movie, they deliberately begin the movie with nonsense and delay what they really want to convey in the movie to take into account all the people who come in late to watch the movie. No, it has to be. They don't go start the movie with the mostly with this. Because it means people, you go to a movie theater. I haven't gone to a movie theater in 100 years.
Maybe we should have a class.
But people come late. And because they come late, if you're going to introduce, lay out a principle that is necessary for the plot in the very first scene, then half the people are going to miss it because people have a tendency to come late.
That's
why we
have
to
sit at the
zero,
right? The same idea.
Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. We're not like the guy. So over here, we have to appreciate that the Rashi over here is telling us that until Parashas Vayeshev, it's just the intro. It's the intro. It's the warm-up. Parashas Vayeshev is where it all begins. It's a serious matter. You come to Shul Parashas Vayeshev this week, this is where Klal Yisrael begins. Everything until now, we've explained the Yichus of Esav and what happened to them. Now, Perush L'cho Yeshuve Yaakov V'toldoisav B'derech Arucha in utter great detail. Kol Gilgulei Sibasam, all of the causes, the events which caused them to go from place to place. Lefish, why are we going to describe their lineage, their story? The story of the Jewish people Derech Arucha, which includes Vayeshev to the end of the Torah. Okay, to the end. Now is the start. Lefi Shehim Chashuvim Lifnei Hamakon Laharich Bohem. Wow. Okay, Chanukah is coming up this week. What is Chanukah? Rambam, a mitzvah chavivahi ad mo'id. It's a mitzvah chaviva. It's not a coincidence that Chanukah is always in between Parashas Vayeshev and Parashas Miketz. Sometimes Parashas Vayeshev is the first day. It could happen when Vayeshev is the first day of Chanukah is Vayeshev. But generally, it's either Vayeshev is the first day of Chanukah, it comes out on Shabbos, Chanukah begins on Shabbos, then the first day of Chanukah is Parashas Vayeshev, and if it doesn't begin on Shabbos, like this year, then it's always the Shabbos before. And we have to appreciate that this week in the Torah is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala to us, that we're Choshev. It's a gilui that Klal Yisrael is choshev. It's choshev, and this week we're going to be able. Hashem gave to us a miracle which is choviv. This is a very special week. Choshev and choviv, they're two different concepts. There is importance, and there is chavivus. Chashivus is what's chashivus associated with the beginning. Who do you give the most distinguished aliyah? Kohen goes first. Why? Because he's choshuv. V'kidashtoi. Meikar Hadin, you can really give the first aliyah to the biggest Talmud Chacham. Meikar Hadin. To the Gadol. Because the Gadol of the Tzibor is choshuv. Okay, but the Sfaradim, they give the first aliyah to the Chacham. They don't give it to the Kohen. They give it to the Chacham. He's choshuv. Chashivus always comes in the beginning. Chavivus. Acharoin, choviv. Ani rishoin, v'ani acharoin. Umi baladai ein elokim. Hashem is choshuv, and Hashem is choviv. And there's nothing else. This week, to some degree, Klal Yisrael is choshuv and choviv. This is the beginning of the chashivus of Klal Yisrael. And overlaps with an introduction to Chanukah, which is a mitzvah chavivihi mo'id. A mitzvah that's chaviv. Ani rishoin, Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has demonstrated to Klal Yisrael their chashivus and the chavivus. Klal Yisrael in Hashem's eyes is rishoin ve'acharoin. That's the beginning of this part. It's something to appreciate. It's the chashivas of Klal Yisrael. The gaiva de kedusha. Okay, Klal Yisrael, we're not wimps. We are Hashem's chosen nation. We have to step up to the plate to appreciate who we are. The chashivas of Klal Yisrael. That concludes vart number one. Now, a completely different vart.
What do you find in the previous parashat is this all of Yishmael?
Right, get rid of them also. Rashi doesn't say that, but...
Yeah, well, why did you... I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, well, why didn't you do both of them together? Or why didn't Rashi mention...
Different generation. It's a different... Because I guess Yishmael is a parallel to Yitzchak. Yitzchak's day in the sun is back in parashas... Toldos, or even back in Parashas Chayisar. And Vayetze is Yaakov. Vayetze is the Parasha of Yaakov Avinu. All of the events of Yaakov Avinu, this whole appearance, Maisa Ovo Simen Labanim of Yaakov is all Parashas Vayetze, by and large. A little bit in Vayishlach as well. Yishlach also has a... But Yaakov, because they put the two together. Fine, say it's... I'm sorry. Let's say put the two together. Put together Parshas, Vayetze, and Vayishlach. So therefore, who is Yaakov Avinu's nemesis? Esav. So Esav parallels, appears in Parshas, Vayishlach, together with Yaakov. Yishmael, that's a Shaykh to Yitzchak. He was the nemesis of Yitzchak. So therefore, he's back in Parshas... In Parashas Toldos, the end of Toldos is where you have all the yichus of Yishmael. L'chayr. Okay, that concludes vart number one. Now let's continue in this Rashi to a completely different vart. Rashi goes on to say, he goes and gives more examples. We're out of time, so we're going to the point I want to say, Moshul. What is this a Moshul? L'margolis shenofla bein hachol, like a pearl that fell in the sand. Adam mashmesh b'chol, where's my pearl? Where'd it go? So you isolate the area where the pearl fell, and you begin to sieve and sift all the sand. Adam mashmesh b'chol v'koivroi b'chavara, and you sift it with a sieve. Ad shemoitzi es hamargolis, until you find the pearl, u'mishimotza'o, and when you find it, hu mashlich es hatzeroidois miyodoi v'noidol hamargolis. After you find the pearl, you take all the sand and you throw it away.
That's exactly what you were saying before. All of the
we're searching for something.
Guys have been filtered right. Out. The Ishmaels, the Esavs,
and now we find the pearl. Okay, so Rashi, right? It's the same Rashi. It's a continuation. Rashi over here is giving a mashal. He's telling us over here is that what's going on in all these parishes until we come to Rashi Yitzchak and the Shparuch, we are searching. We're looking for that pearl. We go through the 10 generations between Adam and Noach. And then we go through the 10 generations between Noach and Avram. And then we go through Yishmael. And then we go through Esav. And now we found the pearl. Oh, we found. What do we do with Adam to Noach, Noach to Avram, and Yishmael and Esav? Garbage. Send it out with the sanitation. Okay? Get rid of it. Gone. Out. We'll have the pearl. Then Rashi says another pshat. Dover acher. Another pshat. Vayeshev Yaakov. Ha-pishtani hazen nichnus. So he gives a mashal. Another mashal. The mashal of the pishtani. Who is the pishtani? A person has flax. And he enters into a city loaded to the hilt with a camel full of wax. Nichnesu gemalov is wag is his camel's tuun and pishon. Ha pachan mi toma. There was a blacksmith that was watching the parade of all of the camels loaded, overloaded, heavy load, wide load with flax. Where in the world is this fellow gonna store? There's a shortage of space. Manhattan, you know, real estate costs a lot of money. Where in the world is he going to store all of this flax? Toma, ono yikones kola pishtan hazeh. Hoya pikech echad meshav, there was a wise man that said to him, nitzoitz echad yoitzei mima puach shalcha, if one little spark comes out of your shop, a blacksmith deals with fire, and it makes contact with the flax, all the flax gone. There's no need for any storage fees. Shaves kula. Obviously, there's a lot of depth in this mashal. This mashal, what really you think about it, what in the world is going on? All of a sudden, a pachami, he's the one that has. What about the baker? And what about the computer programmer and the doctor and the lawyer? They're not concerned. How come there's so much flax? And what's the pichus? What's the grace of pichus that if a spark comes and burns the flax, it's combustible? What's the great pichus about that? Obviously, there's a lot more going on here, which I don't know, but that's not my point. The point over here is he gives another mashal. So to kach, so to Yaakov ro es kol ha'alufim ha'kesuvim l'mala. Yaakov avinu, he took note of all of the leaders, all of the princes, all of the leaders of Esav. The world, there's a population of 8 billion people in this world. That's what they claim. 8 billion people, a lot of carbon. 8 billion, I didn't mean anything personal. Don't get worried. 8 billion people.
Eight billion carbon
producers, people who produce carbon emissions. 8 billion people who produce carbon emissions. When you breathe, no? Carbon monoxide. You produce carbon emissions, 8 billion people. Klal Yisrael is at most 15 million people. How in the world can a nation of 15 million people survive against 8 billion people? The Goyim, Rachman al-Zalman, can swallow us up alive. 15 million people up against 8 billion people? How you talk?
70 wolves, says
the... Are you talking such a thing? Think about it. It's mamish mind-boggling. So, kach Yaakov, rokol ha'olufim ha'ksuvim l'malo, tom aviyama, mi yuchol l'chboish ha'skun? How in the world can we conquer them all? Yaakov seemed to want to be a globalist. He wanted to conquer the whole world. How can 15 million people conquer our world? Moksiv l'mata, eile toldois Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef is the fire. V'chsev v'hoya beis Yaakov eish u'beis Yosef l'hova a torch u'beis Esav l'kash. Esav is straw. It doesn't say here flax, but straw. Nitzoyts yoytzei mi Yosef shemechale v'soydeif eskulam, a sparkle will go forth from Yosef that will completely obliterate and destroy all of the nations of the world. Don't, no big deal. Easy. It's not a problem. What do I want to suggest say over here?
That means when you said not flax, but straw, right? Flax has a use.
Straw has a use. You make tit. It can make cement. All right, whatever. Okay, whatever. Straw means nothing. Just stop. Fine. Okay. But I want to maybe say something interesting. So I want to make a suggestion. Rashi in the beginning of this parasha gives two mishalim. He connects Vayeshev to the previous parashas, and he says that we said in the beginning the first var. We said in the beginning we first were searching for something, and now we come across Klal Yisrael. He gives two mishalim. One, to a person looking for a diamond or a pearl, a margolis, in the sand. In the second mashal, he compares it to a spark. To Klal Yisrael is a spark, and everything that we learned until now is straw that will be destroyed. Will go up in fire, and will be consumed in the spark of Yosef. What exactly is the difference between the first mashal of Rashi and the second mashal of Rashi? There's a very profound difference between the two. In the first mashal, whatever it said in the beginning of the Torah until now, all these nations, live and let live. Who cares about them? You have all that sand, throw it in the garbage. Just get it. We found the diamond. We found the pearl. We found what we need. What's important is what we have in our possession. Everything else just ignore. We were searching for that precious pearl. We found the pearl. And now what do you do with the mess? I got a big mess here. Just dispose of it. Just take it outside. Take it outside and dump it on the street. It's not important. The second marshal says, destroy it. Destroy it. Everything that you learned until now is kash. Yosef is Esh. The Esh will come and will obliterate, annihilate, completely destroy everything. Yishmael, Esav, all and Chol Hamilvim will love. everything from the beginning of Bereshis, Adam to Noach, well, Noach, everything in the world was destroyed. But Noach to Avram, we're dealing with the whole world. Shem, Cham, and Yafes. The Kash will come, the Yosef will come, will ignite the Teven, and guess what? There's nothing gone. In the first Mashal, we didn't destroy anything. We're just looking for what we need. What we're looking for something. We found it, and now everything else is just not important. These are two completely different attitudes towards, we learn Navi a lot here, and these are really two different approaches, attitudes towards the end of days. In the end of days, Ma'is Avos Sim Labanim. What exactly is the role of the world, in the time of Mashiach? So you study Tanakh, you get conflicting signals. On the one hand, V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. No one's going anywhere. The world oylam kimin hagoy noyik. When Mashiach will come, Klal Yisrael will reign supreme. But there'll be a Russia, and there'll be an Afghanistan, and there'll be a Ukraine, and there'll be a China, and an India, and a New Zealand, and maybe not New Zealand. and there'll be Africa, the Americas, Olam Kimin Hagi. Like, it's just not important. It's not important. It clearly shows what's important, and everything else is just sand. Here we are. Hashem has sifted through the world, has found his precious gem, and he's taken the precious gem and put it in a setting and presented it in the most magnificent way. And what about all of the psoilas? Nothing. Let the world go on and do what it's been doing. Who's interested? Mitzat Sheni. Rashi's second example? No. There's accountability. All the nations of the world from time immemorial have been on a mission, a crusade, a jihad to destroy Klal Yisrael. There's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a din v'cheshbon for all the pain and suffering that the Umay Sa'olam have brought upon Klal Yisrael. And they will be destroyed. They will cease to exist. And you can find in Tanakh numerous Mamori Chazal that tell us how Yimos HaMashiach will be a Mochemes Goig Umogoig, and these nations will literally cease to exist. We learned it even today. Okay, so this is the question. How do you reconcile these Mamori Chazal? On the one hand, there's going to be a whole world, and the only difference is that Klal Yisrael is going to be recognized as the Am HaNifchar, and we will reign supreme, and everyone, every nation will pay homage to Klal Yisrael, but they will exist peacefully with us. Mitzad Sheni, we have Psukim, chapters in Tanakh, again and again, telling us that when Mashiach will come, there'll be a day of reckoning, and many nations will no longer exist. They will be Yosef, this Ma'isa Avos Sim Labanim. The spark of Yosef will come and will consume these nations. And obviously, Elu Va'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. There is some balance. Obviously, you have to reconcile what it says in Tanakh and what it says over here is that both of these Mishalim are Emes. In the days of Mashiach, when Hashem will sift through the sand and finally find his pearl, the other nations, you can live, be well, be successful, just recognize Hashem, recognize that Klal Yisrael is the Am HaNifchar, is the chosen nation, and but mitzad sheni, there will be nations, there will be people who will be held account, be taken to task and held accountable for their crimes against humanity, against Klal Yisrael, against launching a Melchemes Hashem, and the the nitzoitz of Yosef, the lahova of Yosef, will come and consume them, and they will cease to exist. These two mishalim of Rashi is the foundation of Yimos HaMashiach. Maise Avoy Simin Labanim. Here in Vayeshev, we're beginning to describe Jewish history. Rashi says, Jewish history begins in Parshas Vayeshev. And Rashi gives two mishalim. Until Parshas Vayeshev, we are dealing with the population of the world, the nations of the world, from Adam to Noach, Noach to Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, Yishmael and Esav, and we enumerate all of their leaders and their wars and where they dwelt. And now begins the history of Klal Yisrael. And what about everyone until now? What about them? Two mishalim, two different mishalim, Rashi begins. A pearl in sand, or a spark, a torch that is directed against cash. In the first mashal, we found what we're looking for. Everything else, you can remain. You're just not important as Klal Yisrael. Sand is also very chashuv. Sand, you can make glass from sand. There are a lot of things you can make from sand, but not the pearl. In the second mashal, Yosef is a torch, and everything that we had until now is cash, and it's going to be ignited, and it will cease to exist.
So was this an either-or thing?
No, it's both. It's both. Elu ve'elu divrei. I'm trying to suggest elu.
Because doesn't it describe the end of the story?
How can you? Wait a second. Michal is saying something. Yeah.
The ultimate end of the story.
Yeah.
Then how can both alternatives?
It means there are some, I'm trying to say is that there are some, we have to appreciate that there are some nations that will remain.
Oh, okay.
And there are some, like you mentioned, that this week they took a vote in the United Nations, 175 nations voted that Israel must give up all of their nuclear weapons, and there are five nations that says, no, they can keep it. The five that said they can keep it are part of the mashal, of a Margolis in Chol. You don't bother us, we don't bother you. Yeah. The other nations have the chutzpah to say that the state of Israel should not have the right to defend itself. For you fit into the second mashal of Rashi. Yosef is a torch, your kash, and the torch will ignite you. The hatred, halacha biyadua, he she'esav sone Yaakov is the Yosef is the ka is the torch and Esav is the cash. All right, let's go to another example. I want to go another one. Running out of time.
Another explanation for this thing. Margalit is Gal. We are talking here about Brit Ben Haftarim. Margalit is Galut Mara. And then Lehava, the fire, the Lapid Eishah. That's exactly what
Mar Galut, very nice. Golus is the bitterness of Golus. The beautiful. Very, very nice. Beautiful.
And then the ash, the fire that went between the Gzarim,
the Bris Ben Abbasadim. Okay, I saw a var. I want to say very nice, Rav Kalman. Beautiful, beautiful. You're very, very analytical. Okay, let's go to another var. I saw a var which I want to corrupt in my own way. The end of the parsha, the last word of this parsha is Vayishkochehu. He forgot him. And the first word of Parshas Miketz is Vayihi. Now, if you remember from the Megillah Esther, Vayihi, b'mei Achashverosh, the word is Vayihi, the Gemara, b'feirush Gemara, b'sechta Megillah, Vayihi is Vay. Vayihi is, the opening syllable is Vav Yud Vay. Vay is an expression of Oy Vey, Rachmano Litzlan.
I like to say, look out, trouble ahead.
Look out, trouble ahead. When Achashverosh became the Melech, the world said, Oy Vey, we are in a lot of trouble. It was a source of agmas nefesh to the entire world. That's what it says in the Gemara Masech. This is not a political statement. That's what it says in the Gemara Masech, the Megillah. Vayihi is, the world said vayi, oyvei, when Achashverosh took office. Now, this is what it says in the Svarim. The last, this we mentioned before, is that Chanukah always falls out in between the week of Parshas Vayeshev and Parshas Miketz. Like this year, it will begin Mirtz Hashem Sunday night. It's in between this Vayeshev and next week. Sometimes it can happen that the first day of Chanukah is Vayeshev. So that's also good. It's in between Vayeshev and Miketz. The last word, so that means it's falling out in between, like a real drush. It's a real drush. It's falling out in between the word Vayishkochehu and the word Vay. Vayihi. To teach you that Chanukah, the goal of Chanukah is a person should forget about his problems. Forget about your problems. Forget about your problems. Vayishkochehu. Vayishkochehu is forget, and vai are your problems, and in between these two words is Chanukah. Chanukah appears as if to say that the goal of Chanukah is a person should have emunah and just be optimistic and don't let the difficulties of life get him down. He should forget vayishkochehu loshon of shicha the vai. Okay, that's the var. Now I want to expand upon that. Got me thinking. It's interesting that this parsha, all of the parshiyos in the entire Torah, is the ultimate cliffhanger. It's a cliffhanger. Not really. Maybe you would say better parshas Vayigash and Miketz. That's probably a better cliffhanger. But in a certain way, this parsha is even better, because what happens in parshas? What happens in parsha Vayeshev? The entire parsha is setting up a situation of despair. We start off, wow, everything is so beautiful. Yaakov is living Be'eretz Muguri Aviv. Wow, he has 12 children. Everything is so beautiful. They're all living in peace and harmony. And then guess what? It's not so rosy. All of a sudden, the brothers, his children, start fighting. They start fighting, and Yosef has dreams. And then the dreams lead to some quarreling, and Yaakov has to intervene. And Yaakov tries to send off the brothers to go, Yosef, to go and appease them, to go see what's doing. And then, tragedy. Mechiras Yosef. The worst aveira of the Torah happens. And then we learn about Yehuda. Yehuda, he was demoted. They sent him away, all the brothers. They said, Yehuda, it's your fault why this whole terrible tragedy happened. They send him away. Yehuda gets involved in some business that no one is very proud to report. The Maisa with Er and Oinon, just the fact what happened with Er and Oinon is a terrible tragedy, that it's two children. That is children. Died, and then Yehuda was involved in what would appear at face value to be a very shameful episode. Chas Shom, we're not here to judge, God forbid, Yehuda, the Shiftei Ka, but obviously it's not something that is a very pleasant thing to teach children, to put it like that. Okay, maybe when you want to go to Kabbalah school and you learn with Meir Appledorf 3 o'clock in the morning all the Sisrei Torah, it's a very honorable thing. But in kindergarten, it's not exactly something that a teacher has an easy time. It's like, what do you learn this week, my child? Shabbos? And then you have parsha sheets? Of course we have parsha sheets. What did you learn? We learned about Yehuda and Tamar. Woo! What did you learn? What did they tell you? Oh, my parents, I don't know if you're old enough to know about this. Okay? So, it's not exactly a very exciting thing. And Yehuda was demoted. And then he was put to shame. Tzotka mimeni. And then it gets worse. We learn about Yosef. Eshes Potiphar. A scandal like none other. a chilul Hashem. The Jew did it. The Jew boy, Yosef, v'tispeseyu, look, I have the smoking, the dossier, the Russians. I have all the documents. Look what I got. It was the Jew who went, v'tispeseyu bevigdo. She tried to live with him, a shameful act. He then, Yosef, it gets even worse. He's taken to the bar. He's sold, put into prison. And then he has a glimmer of hope. Vayishkochehu. They couldn't care less. They forgot about him. The entire parasha is literally one disappointment after another. It goes from bad to worse and even worse. Downhill, a steady decline downhill. It goes from bad to worse. And then the end of the parasha, you walk away depressed. Vayishkochehu, yiskadal v'yiskadash mei rabah. Say a Kaddish. It's all over. We're finished. We're finished. Next week, Vayihi miketz shenosayim yomim. All of a sudden, a week later, a whole week goes by. The next week, all of a sudden, Parshas miketz, all the pieces of the puzzle begin to fit together. The Geula begins. The rays of dawn begin to break forth. You end off Parshas Miketz at the ultimate low of all of the parashos of the Torah. How could Chazal end off in such a depressing state? It gets worse and worse, a total spiral downwards, ending off with nothing. Just depression, an intense degree of Hester Panim. Chazal, actually, they say that what I'm saying is Mamash the Chazal. At the end of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu is in mourning. Vayimoin lehisnachem. Yehuda has been disenfranchised from his brothers. Yehuda in society has been put to shame. The brothers are fighting amongst each other because of what the aftermath of what they did for Mechiras Yosef. Yosef is in a dungeon and doesn't have a glimmer of hope that he's going to ever get out of there. The world came to an end. And Yiskadal v'yiskadash me'raba. Zog kaddish. It's over. A whole week goes by until you get to Vayehi mikeitz shenosayim yomim. Paro has a dream. Ah, a dream? All of a sudden, things start happening. All the everything goes into motion. And the process of Geula begins. What's in the middle? What's in the middle between the Geula and the thickness of darkness? Chanukah. The light of Chanukah. The light of Chanukah. Chanukah is positioned precisely, with incredible precision, between the end of Ayeshev, Ayishkochehu, and Vayimi Keitz Nosayim Yomim, to remind us, in the darkest, darkest of times, have emunah. Light a candle. Light a candle to acknowledge the rays of Geula, they're coming. Hold on. Hold on a little bit longer. That's Chanukah. Chanukah is in the Hester Panim. It's very similar to Purim. Yeah. Difference is the miracle, obviously the major differences. But the principle is the same. In the Parashas HaShavua, in the dark, the time of the year, it's the middle of the winter. It's in difficult times, in time of the Chashmonaim, it was over. The Yevonim won. They had total shlita. They won. They can control the Beis Hamikdash. Either they shut it down. They were offering pigs. The Beis Hamikdash was completely defiled. Most of the Jews were won over. They became assimilated. There was almost no hope. It was the Anochi Haster Aster Panai, like Purim. Purim was a gzera of shmat, of physical destruction. Chanukah was spiritual destruction, but the destruction was complete. There was no hope left. And yet, hold on. Light that candle. There's a glimmer of hope. In between the darkness and the Geula, remember, Geula is coming. Remember, there will be Vayihi Mikeich Nasaim Yamim. But until you get there, be mechazek yourself. Light those candles. I'll give you a vart to parallel this. In the morning, we make two brachas. And we make many brachas. The Birchas HaShachar. The first bracha is Asher Nosan Lasechvi Vino Lehavchin Ben Yoim Uvein Loyola. And what's the next bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shaloi Osani Goy. What's the connection between these two blessings? Why do we start off? L'chora, you should really start off with Shaloi Osani Goy. If you think about it, when you go through all the blessings, they all describe the Seder Hayoim. The Seder Hayoim, you get up, you stretch your arms, you stand up, open up your eyes, bokeach irim, malbish arumim, you get dressed, you open up your eyes, you get dressed, you walk, tzokif kefufim, you put on your clothing, oiter yishol b'sifari, put on your hat, oiter, oizer yishol b'gevura, oiter yishol b'sifara, all of the birchos ha-shachar go according to the seder of waking up in the morning. So what is the beginning of the morning? It's light. I have an alarm clock. The alarm clock rings. See, the only difference between our alarm clocks and the rooster is there's no snooze button on the rooster. There's no snooze button on the rooster. A snooze button is kineged kol ha-Torah kula. It says in the first halach of Shulchan Aruch, yiskaber kwari. La'avoides haboire. It's bigamatria. There's no such thing as a snooze button. A snooze button is kineged yiskaber ko'ari. There's not an alarm clock in the world that does not have a snooze button. And you're going to see Yemos HaMashiach. You're going to know Mashiach is here when they stop, when it's illegal to sell an alarm clock with a snooze button. Because it's kineged the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Meir, instead of banning Pshuto Shel Mikra, they should ban snooze buttons. Okay? Okay, but we also want to make a bracha shloyasani goy, shloyasani isha, shloyasani oved. So why are we making the bracha shanoisin lasechli dino before? We should first make the bracha shloyasani goy, shloyasani oved, shloyasani isha, and now we'll start the Seder Hayoim. The Seder Hayom is I wake up. There's a Sechvi. There's a rooster which wakes me up. It's Mavchin Ben Yom Vein Laila. Or some say Sechvi means in your brain. It means your brain is able to be Mavchin. And now we go through the Seder Hayom. What is the answer? What you have to first appreciate is, a lot of Farshim say this, the Sechvi, if you go out into the wild and you listen to the rooster crow early in the morning, it's way before Alois HaShachar. It's a pillow. Chazal say, "Hanoisin lasechvin lahavchin b'yom vein laila." What? Go out into the street. People have done this experiment, and they listen to the rooster's crow. The rooster crows very machmir on Alois HaShachar. Okay, we hold Alois HaShachar is 72 minutes before sunrise. The rooster is making its noise way before 72 minutes before sunrise. What is a chazon ishir? A chazoy nishir in Alois HaShachar? My high. So the first one asks this question, and they say something, a pella. They say the rooster, when it crows, it's not crowing because it sees light. It's making noise based on a calculation of time. A scientist to confirm this. When the rooster is crowing in the middle of the night, it's not because it can sense, oh, I have supervision, I can see the rays of the sun are coming up. The rooster has a brain that human beings don't have, where it has an incredible analysis of time, understanding, and it's tuned into as an atomic clock. And based upon memory from yesterday, and the day before, it's in the middle of the night. It's pitch black dark. But it knows, at this moment, it knows, oh, in a short time, in a couple of minutes, or whenever it's going to be dawn. They're going to be rays in the sky. It's not crowing because, oh, now it sees the light. It's making, yesterday, I remember, it was pitch black dark. And then, all of a sudden, there were rays of light. Now, it's pitch black dark. I have emunah, basically, in this darkness, that soon, in a couple of minutes, dawn will begin. And it does this approximately a few minutes, or whatever, it's a very precise time, and it's based on memory, and its incredible connection to time. But the moment when it makes that noise, it's pitch black dark. Now, therefore, what are we doing when we make Birchas HaShachar? You say Hanois Nasech Vina Benyim Ben Laila, and then you say Shaloy Asani Goy immediately. When should a person make the bracha? There's a musar. When do you make the bracha Shaloy Asani Goy? Today? Today it's no big deal to make the bracha Shaloy Asani Goy. You see what the Goyim are doing, how they're behaving, how lost they are. You can't blame them almost. If you don't have Torah, you don't have any values, you don't have a guide, you don't have a hashkafa of Yirah Shemayim, so what do you expect? What do you expect? They're busy the whole day. Should I go into the bathroom or should I not go into the bathroom? Should I go into a man's bathroom or should I go into a woman's bathroom? That's what they're busy with the whole day. The whole day they're busy with mamish insanity. Where does this come from? Where does this come from? It's shocking. It comes from Rahman al-Islam. It's not, you can't even blame them to a degree. When you don't have values, you don't have core values, morals in life, that's what happens. That's what happens. So to say today, Shaloy Asani Goy, I'm not saying it's easy to make the bracha, okay? There are a lot of, it's a very big Yetzirah, but when there's a degree of awe in the world, when the awe of Hashem is lit in the world, you know, it's not all that difficult if you want to be a responsible person to make a bracha with kavana, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shaloy Asani Goy. But when it's very dark, when you're living in a world of intense hester panim, and Jews are persecuted, and Jews suffer, and the Goyim are living it up, they don't have a daiga in the world, it's very hard to say Shaloy Asani Goy. The musar of the Birchas HaShachar is, when the rooster crows, Asher nosan lasech vivino lahavchin ben yom uvein laila, when is the rooster being mavchin ben yom uvein laila? Before dawn, when it's being mavchin at the darkest time of the night. The darkest time of the night, is that really true? I'm not so truly true, is right before it gets light. Is that really true? Not really, but
the biggest contrast.
But the darkest time of the night is when the rooster, oh, it's able to be mavchin ben yom uvein laila. That's when you should work on yourself and say, even now, mitoich the choyshech shebechoyshech, baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, shaloy asani goy. What is Yavan? Our Mechon will tell us in the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereishis baru lekem esas shemayim ve'esar tzvaretz ha'isa toyu vavoyu ve'choyshech al penei sohoim. Toyu is galus bavel. Voyu is choyshech galus modaya paras. Choyshech is galus yavon. Chanukah. Darkness. It was very dark for the Jewish people. The Goyim were living it up. It was the time of the times of Chanukah. It was the enlightenment. Is that correct? It was the enlightenment, the study, science, philosophy, the body, the value, the koyach to exploit, the power, the milus. It was a time where the Goyim were living it up, and Jews were persecuted. It was choyshech, Choyshech. It was the Zman of the Chsechvi. It was the Zman of the ultimate darkness, and the Sechvi, yeah, it's taka dark, but I know. The light's gonna come. Good days are coming. Now, after you're in that Zmatzev, now we demand Emunah. Shelo yosani goy. Appreciate your legacy. Emunah. Have Emunah in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. Here is Chanukah, the end of the parasha of Vayishkochehu. The parasha has set us up for the ultimate choyshech. It's a depressing end, a series of disappointments. Next week, the light, the dawn begins. This whole week is a zman of the zman of the sechvi. It's before the light, and the sechvi is mavchin ben yom ve'en laila. Trust me. Light's coming. We trust him. And we light the Chanukah candles. And lighting the Chanukah candles is an essence. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, shelo yosani goy. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai. Be well. Amen. Saying Kaddish. I love my community.